Dad.
All right, today we are going to get into, here's your new title, major title.
A major title.
We're doing Jesus the Son today. Okay. Now, first question, the first mini title is, how do we know anything about God? Okay? How do we know anything about God?
The Bible.
Okay. Who has, there are all kinds of crazy things that people have made up about what they think about God. There's all kinds of religions that men have made. There's always been a sense in people, we've looked at God the Father, the Creator, God Almighty, and most people in the world have always had a sense that there must be a God. And so they've tried to create what he must be like. There's sun gods, and maybe he's a sun god, maybe like we just were talking about the Hindu religions in that.
There's the moon god.
Believe in, yeah. Different gods and Buddhas. There's thousands of different things that people, and you think of our native Indians who live, you know, who were here before us, they have all kinds of things that they would believe about the Great Spirit, they call them, right? And there's all sorts of things that they have made up over time, and so there's all kinds of things that people have made up, but the question is, how do we know for sure anything about God? And someone had a... What did you say, Max?
About what?
What was your answer to this question? You had an answer.
The Bible.
The Bible, you said, right? Well, and why... How do we know that the Bible is different than anything else? Than everybody else's ideas? How do we know that it's the truth? How do we know that it's different? That it's not just something that some guy made up and... How do we know? You know how we know? Because God spoke. And he told us what he's like. Okay? We don't have to guess. We don't have to make stuff up. He's told us what he's like. Okay? So everybody, we're going to turn to Hebrews.
New Testament?
Yeah, in the New Testament, near the back. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. That's right, Hebrews... Actually. All right. So everybody look that one up. Everybody find Hebrews. Hebrews 1, verse 1 and 2. You got it there, Sam? I'm going to get you to read it as soon as everybody's got it. You found it there, Carson?
Whoa, one's a long one. That is huge. It's also a long one.
Hebrews what?
Here. Hebrews chapter 1.
Chapter?
Just chapter 1, verse 1, and half of verse 2.
Half?
For the whole thing. It's kind of hard to tell where...
Is your Bible?
Because these are... says this is 1 through 3.
Right.
Let's see.
So well, I'll tell you when to stop.
I got there.
Everybody found it? How you doing, Carson?
You can translate it into the version.
Just about got it?
I don't know.
Here, let
me help you.
So is this it? Jeff? Is this one it? Jeff, is this it?
Okay, go ahead, Sam. Read us Hebrews 1.
Going through a long line of prophets, God has been addressing our ancestors in different ways for centuries. Recently, he spoke to us directly through his Son. But his Son, God, created the world in the beginning.
That's good.
Okay.
Okay, so there it says that in the beginning, God spoke. God addressed people. Okay. Through in many ways and in different ways he spoke to people, and it was through the prophets. He chose certain people and they were called prophets that he spoke to, and then they spoke to the people. But then it says, but now he speaks to us through his Son. That is the greatest example of God speaking to us. And so we learn from this text, this is a really important text that tells us that God spoke to us first through the prophets, okay, okay. Now, when he was speaking through prophets, he used, like it said, many different ways. Sometimes he sent an angel, okay. Sometimes he gave them a dream or a vision. Sometimes it was an actual audible voice that they heard. Sometimes, like Moses, it was a burning bush. It was a bush that was on fire.
And was talking.
For another guy, it was a donkey. God spoke through a donkey. So, but the one thing that was obvious is it was very crystal clear what God wanted to say. He didn't leave it. It wasn't kind of like, I think God's telling me something. It was like a mule talking to you. That's pretty clear.
Because he saw the angel and the guy didn't.
Yeah, or God would send an angel to speak to them. So it was very clear when God would speak to his prophets. Okay. And then we find out that second through his Son. Okay? So that is how God has spoken to us. Through Jesus, Jesus is the full picture. Okay? God has revealed himself. This is called, Christianity believes that God is constantly trying to reveal himself to us. And this is how he did it, originally through the prophets, but now he's revealed himself through his Son. Okay? And all of these things we find... you find them in the Bible. Okay? The prophets would write down what God would say and put it in the Bible. And we have the disciples who walked with Jesus, wrote down everything they saw so that we would know what Jesus was like. And we find this is what the Bible is all about. So the Bible is the story of God revealing himself to us. And that's what's different. And that's how we know for sure what we know about God, because he's told us what he's like. And there's going to be some things we're going to look at today that are really hard to believe. And we only believe them because God said, well, this is what I'm like. And we talked about this before. If I was to talk to an ant and try to describe to the ant what I'm like, it's going to be very hard for the ant to figure me out, right? His brain is pretty small and puny. And when I say, yeah, I can run and jump and play hockey, and he's like, hockey? What's hockey? I don't get it. He's like, well, you know, you get a stick, and I don't get it. Okay, you know, you take a shot, and there's a goalie. I don't get it, right? He's not going to get it. So there's some things about God that he's revealed to us that are just a little hard to understand. And we're actually going to look at one of the most difficult things to understand today. All right? So the second topic we have for you is called Jesus. We're going to take a little closer at Jesus. He's called the God-man.
The God-man?
Okay. So I need somebody to read the rest of that little section there, verse 2 and 3. Actually, we'll just read from 1 right through 3. Maybe we'll get Josiah. Do you want to read that one, or you haven't found it yet?
No, I just closed my book. Oh.
Who's got it open there? Carson, do you want to read it to us?
Is it here?
Hebrews, yep, chapter 1. Just start reading at chapter 1 down to verse 3. Okay.
In the past, God spoke to our people through the prophets. He spoke at many times. He spoke in different ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son. He is the one whom God appointed to receive all things. God made everything through him.
Keep going. One more verse.
The Son is the gleaming brightness of God's glory. He is
the exact, is
exact likeness of God's being. He uses his power for powerful world to hold all of the things together that provided the way for people to be made purified from sin,
yep.
Then he sat down at the right hand of the king, the majesty in heaven.
Yeah. Good. So that whole section, you guys should highlight that one, because that is a good one.
Where is it?
The verse 1 to 3. It's in Hebrews 1 to 3.
I know, I'm there, but I can't find it.
You can't find it, bud?
It's right at the start.
Hebrews.
There.
Where does it say
4?
Number 4, 2 here.
Okay. So that section told us that God, or Jesus, is exactly like God. It's exactly what God is like. Jesus was exactly like that. Okay? And it says he was the brightest part. He was like, he's like a reflection of God's glory. And so when we look at Jesus, we're seeing what God is like. Okay? The Bible is very clear about that. Okay, so we learn some things from a verse like this, and there's several other verses like this, but we learn that Jesus was fully God, okay? This is really important. Every other religion in the world might have a guy that was a leader, but nobody would say, oh yeah, that guy was God. Okay, that's the difference with Christianity. We believe, this is really important, that we believe that Jesus was actually God, fully in every way. That he was God. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what God has said about Jesus. Okay? And and part of the things that support that are things like the fact that he was born without a dad. Okay? There was no dad involved. The miracles that he did. Jesus. What else?
Had a dad.
He was like an adopted dad, yeah. How else do we know Jesus was God? What other examples?
He rose again.
What's that?
He came back to life.
He came back to life. Not too many people do that, these, you know, on their own. That's kind of impressive. What else? Anything else you can think of? What else points to the fact that Jesus was not just a normal guy?
He could do miracles.
He could do miracles. Yeah, what else?
He changed water into wine.
He did. That was a miracle. What else?
He was perfect.
He was perfect and sinless. Absolutely. Anything else? A couple more things. The things that he knew about. He knew things that everybody's like, wow, how does he know that? Nobody knows that.
He knows what's going to happen before they actually do it.
Exactly. He knew what was coming, what was going to happen. He told his disciples how he was going to die long before he did. And then another thing is he ascended into heaven in front of, when he died, rose again, and then he ascended into heaven in front of a whole bunch of people.
And he disappeared and appeared.
And he disappeared and appeared in the end with his new body, yeah. So that was, there's a lot of stuff there that obviously points that Jesus was somebody very special. And the Bible would say, as we learned earlier in this text, it says that that he was heir of all things and through whom God made the universe. So Jesus was with God when the universe was made. Okay, so we know, and there's a number of texts that say this, that Jesus has always He has always been God. Okay? He was part of creating the universe. Okay? Now, the only thing I'm going to put here in brackets is not in flesh. Okay? Or body, maybe is a better word. Not in body. Okay, so Jesus in with the human body didn't exist until he was born. And yet the Bible is very clear that he has always existed. So is that a little bit confusing? He was born, but he's always existed. How does that work exactly? Well, now we're getting into some very complicated areas, okay? But we're just going to first make the points of what the Bible says. Okay, it also says, if we were to read further in this chapter, we'd find out that Jesus will always be. And we'll put in brackets here, you will always have a body from now on. Okay? And the Bible says that we will reign with him for all eternity. Okay, but he will always, he has always been, and he will always be. Okay. And the other thing that the Bible tells us that's clear is that Jesus is fully a man. Okay? So he was fully God and fully man, the Bible would teach. And some of the things that we, how do we know that he was a man like everybody else? What are some things, if you can think about, what do we know about Jesus that's the same as us?
He was born.
He was born. What else?
He had hair.
He had hair.
He looked like other people.
He looked like other people. If you were to see Jesus walk down the street, you would think, there goes another guy walking down the street, right? He didn't have a big, funny head or anything. He just looked like everybody else. So he had a body. What else? Did he fly everywhere he went, kind of like an angel? Or he walked, and he got tired, and he got hungry, right? Mm-hmm. All those things are true about Jesus. Okay? So what's interesting is it seems that somehow God limited himself. You know what that means? He put limits on himself. That somehow God put limits on himself to function within a human body. Okay? It means that he somehow, instead of, he probably could have just flown everywhere if he wanted to. You know, and when they were coming into the Garden of Gethsemane to take him to the cross, Peter goes and cuts off a guy's ear, and Jesus says, no, 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 it's okay. If you know, if I wanted to, I could call all the angels of heaven to come and wipe these guys off the face of the earth. But he didn't. Okay? So there was Jesus put limits on himself as to how he was going to function as God. Okay? But he was fully God. Even in a human body, somehow. Okay, now this is a great mystery, you guys. We know all these things are true based on the Bible, but how does that work exactly? Okay? How can you be fully a chicken and fully a dog? Like, and how does that work?
You can be half chicken and half...
You could be half chicken and half dog, but how can you be fully a chicken and fully a God?
You can be half chicken and half
fully a dog. You can be half things, but it's very clear that Jesus was God, right? Even from that verse that we read, everything about God was true of Jesus in his being, okay? And yet he was a man in every way. And so this is the most confusing part of Christianity is right here, you guys. Who was Jesus, this God-man, okay?
He was really awesome.
Yeah, and so... the way we look at that, and that's really how you have to look at it. Like, it is a miracle. It is God's greatest miracle was when Jesus was born. Okay? That the God of the universe somehow became a little child. Like, that's mind-boggling, right? Okay? So if that's confusing to you, you're not alone. Okay, there are theologians who study God and study this stuff, and they still haven't figured it out completely. They have theories on how it works, and you can actually learn a lot about it.
You have to be half?
Who says you have to be half?
Yeah, I mean, you can be like, it's Jesus, he can be full of this and full of that thing. Who says you have to be
half? Exactly, nobody says you have to be half. Somehow God figured out how to do it so he didn't have to be half. That's exactly right. And so if we come to this final word that I'm going to put on here. It's called the Trinity.
Not ready?
Have you guys heard God referred to as the Trinity before?
You mean the girl Trinity?
No.
Okay. When they describe God as three people in one, have you ever heard that God described that way? The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Okay, that's where this comes from. We're getting into this topic here now. It's basically one God who is... He's one God, but there's three beings, for lack of a better word, or persons. And persons isn't the greatest word, because when you think of a person, you can't think of, you know, Josiah, Max, and Sam can't be one person, right? You're three different people. So to think of God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as three different people, how can they be one? Well, they can't, because they're three different people. So even using the word three different persons or beings is hard, and there's no proper description of it. That's the problem. The Bible just appears that God is very clear. He says throughout the Bible that he is, "Hear, O Israel," he says, "the Lord your God is one God," okay? There's only one God over everything.
One God.
And yet,
three people,
there's three.
One of one thing.
There's three, this Father, Son, Holy Spirit that are part of it, and they have a relationship with each other. They talk to each other. They relate to each other, and yet they're not separate people. So we call that the Godhead or the Trinity, where there's these three persons, for lack of a better word, because there's no real word to describe it, that make up one God. And yet they have relationship together and love towards each other in perfect, just in a perfect way. So is that confusing yet now?
Yeah.
You getting confused yet? Well, all only reason we accept this, see, man couldn't make up something this crazy, could they? This is God describing himself to us. And so we just say, okay, God, if that's what you're like, I guess that's what you're like. So you can try and learn more about this. You could spend your whole life studying this topic and trying to figure it out, and you'll probably get a good sense of what you feel, how it works. But it's not an easy thing to figure out, okay? But that's how the Bible describes it. If I was to draw a picture of it, it would look like this. Okay? It would look like this.
Three-headed.
If this was God, okay, and there was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay? That's what makes up God. Okay?
Okay, maybe the Father is his head, the Son is his arm, and then the Holy Spirit.
Well, I do believe they do have certain responsibilities that seem a little bit different than each other. Okay? They have different roles that they play even in our life. Okay?
But
here's what happened when Jesus, before the world was ever created, this is what it looked like. You've got the Father, the Holy Spirit, and the Son. They all are part of God. Okay, and then Jesus is born. What happens there? How does Jesus fit into this picture?
He just put him down at the bottom.
Here's the solution. Because it's not like somehow God maintained everything about himself when Jesus was born. And so what the best description is like this. Okay? Okay, God took to himself, without changing himself at all, he added to himself
another person,
a body, a human body. Okay, somehow, and this is a miracle, God took on a body and he said, that body will be called Jesus. Okay, and so the Son, who has always existed, took on a body, and he may not have been called the Son before this. In fact, he was probably called the Word of God, or the Voice of God, or whatever you want to call it. But when he took on a body, this is when the description of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit really make a full picture, okay? And he truly was God's Son, because God was the Father, Mary was the Mother. So this is a miracle. This is pretty hard to understand, isn't it? So you can draw that little picture if you want to help you understand in your book. Okay? If that kind of helps you paint a picture of who Jesus is, okay? Jesus is God. So now, for all eternity, God has added to himself this body. And it's okay to worship that body, because that body is now a part of God. Okay, the Bible says that we're to worship Jesus. And it's okay to do that because he's God. Does that make sense? All right. We're going to take a break. And we're going to go watch a drama. All right, so we're going to continue on here now. The next title for you is going to be...
How come that was just at the 1:30?
Because of all the extra folks that... It's a special service for them today. Mm-hmm. The families from Nepal. We brought a bus in to bring them all.
You mean a traveling bus? Yeah, they went all the way around the world.
The reliability of the Bible. That's the next thing, next title for you. Okay, we've been talking about how God has revealed himself to us. He's revealed himself through the prophets, and then he revealed himself by speaking to the prophets, and then he revealed himself to us through his son. This is basically God walking amongst us. There's all kinds of names for Jesus. The angel came and said he will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Okay? So Jesus comes, and he's the greatest revelation of God. Now we can actually, it's like God with skin on, in a sense. What does he look like? What does he do? Yeah?
Didn't they call him Jehovah too?
Jehovah, yeah. That's another name for God.
Messiah.
Yeah. Okay, so now we're going to just look at how do we know that the Bible is reliable? That what it has to say about Jesus and what it says at the prophets about the prophets, how do we know that that's true? How can we trust it? Okay, so here's the next scripture we're going to look at. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16 through 21. Okay, so write that one down, and then we're going to look that one up.
Second Peter. Is Peter in the New Testament?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's after Hebrews.
2 Peter 1, verse 16.
Right after 1st.
Right. No, Peter's after James.
No, find second. There? We're talking about, that's yep. The gospel.
1968. Finding it there, bud? Did you find it in the table of contents?
Here it is. So, 1 verse 16.
Right here.
1
Second
verse
Peter.
16 to 21.
903.
16 to 21.
Okay, everybody find that.
So, 221, and we read 21 too?
16 to 21.
So, we read the whole scripture?
Just find 16. Yeah, find verse 16.
Verse 16.
Okay, I'll read this one this time. All right.
Hey, I'm almost got it. 16.
All right, this one says, we did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he's saying, we didn't make this up, right? When we told you about Jesus. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. So this is Peter, this disciple talking. He says, we didn't make this stuff up. We were there, we saw it. Okay? For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, this is my Son, whom I love, with him I'm well pleased. Right, that was God's word to Jesus when he was baptized, right? They heard the audible voice. And we ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on that sacred mountain. So there was another time when God did that. And Peter was on the mountain and he heard God's voice. And we have the word of the prophets made more certain. And you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. So there he's saying about the prophets, the Old Testament. He's confirming the importance of the Old Testament. He said, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin with the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Okay, so this is one of the texts where the Bible claims that everything you find in here is the Word of God, okay? It's not just guys making stuff up. It's revealed by God, okay? And so from these texts, we learn that the New Testament, okay, was all written by the disciples. Were what's called eyewitnesses. Does anybody know what that means?
They saw the thing?
Yeah, if you were an eyewitness to a crime, that means you were there and you saw it, right?
So the disciples who wrote the New Testament were eyewitnesses. So they didn't hear it from somebody who heard it from somebody who heard it from somebody. Okay, they were there. They saw it all with their own eyes. Okay, so that's a pretty reliable source. Okay, and then we've got the Old Testament, which is generally written by the prophets. I'm going to put in brackets here. By the Holy Spirit. Okay? So here we have guys who went to, all died, claiming that what they saw was true. They all died horrible deaths because they were Christians. They claimed what they saw was true. So they did not waver because they saw it with their own eyes. They saw Jesus and who he was. And they, when they saw all those things that we talked about, they were like, okay, this guy's God. There's no other explanation. Okay? And then we've got these Old Testament prophets who receive things from God very directly, not just thoughts, but actual. Sometimes they actually wrote the audible words of God in the or what's in the Bible is actually God's exact words. Sometimes they actually said, "Thus saith the Lord." That's the prophets would often say. They'd go to the kings of the day or whatever and say, "Thus saith the Lord. You're a doughhead. You're going the wrong direction. Turn around, or God's going to wipe you off the face of the earth." It would be messages like that. Okay, not always that sad, but when they were off track, that's what they would get.
Okay. And they would. Something horrible would happen to him, like getting on a cross upside down.
And God actually wrote the first words of the Bible. Do you know what those were? God didn't even tell somebody to write the first words. He actually started the writing of the Bible. Do you know what part of the Bible he wrote with his own hand?
Genesis?
Nope.
What
true question, yeah?
Ten Commandments.
The Ten Commandments. Good man. He wrote them on stone tablets.
Yeah, and then Moses destroyed them, and then he had to do them himself.
He had to do them again. He had to go back up the mountain. Yeah. So God actually started the writing of the Bible, and then Moses continued it, and then all the prophets after him. Okay? So God was the one who actually started it, which is kind of cool.
But who?
Now here's some things about the Bible.
Genesis.
Here's some things about the Bible that are true. It's a very accurate preservation of the original. Okay. This is the next point here, guys. The Bible has maintained a very accurate preservation of the original manuscripts and the things that were originally written. Okay? Of any book in the world, probably the Bible can be traced more accurately than anything else. Okay, and this is really important because you could say, well, I know what the Bible says now, but it's been translated hundreds of times and, you know, is that really what Peter said? Okay. Now there are still copies of the original writings are within, where's the disciples? Okay, we have within 400 years, I know that sounds like a lot. Okay, 400 years after these guys were no longer there, in the year 400, okay, we have documents that you can go and look at today that are copies, okay, of the original things the disciples wrote, and they're only 400 years old when they were written, okay, and we can go see those today. So they are today, those documents are like over 1,500 years old.
And where are they?
They are in different places around the world. Okay? But the Vatican in Rome has a whole bunch of documents, okay? But things have been kept, and even before, and then you can trace the documents. There's a very good record that traces the documents right to the disciples, okay? And their writings. So there's, you can follow how things got to here, and then you can look at, now look at the original documents. Does that make sense? And now we, there's probably a better way to draw that for you.
So you mean like you can still see the actual things that the disciples wrote?
We can't see the very writings of the disciples, but here's what we can see.
We can see copies of them.
Yeah. So here's the disciples.
And what did they write them in the scrolls?
Let me put it over here. I'm going to make a new picture here for you.
What did you, like, what did they have them in scrolls?
Yeah. They were written on, oops, carried away there. Okay, so it's sort of like this. You've got the disciples. Here's a disciple. Okay, they wrote. And then they were very carefully translated and preserved until there was sort of a final one done. 400 years. They kind of had all the official documents gathered together. Okay, and we're now in 2011, right?
Yep.
So you can go way back. There's documents that are over 1,600 years old that you can go read today that have been preserved this close to when the disciples wrote them.
If you can read in a different language.
Okay. What's that?
If you can read in a different language.
No, these ones are probably English. They may, you may be right. They might be, they might be Greek. They might be Greek. Okay, I'm not an expert on it. Okay? In the Old Testament, you can go from 2011. Oh, my picture's already not going to work too good. You can go past the, they used to only have manuscripts, I think. I think they used to have manuscripts that were about from the 500s that you can go look at. But then they found some called the Dead Sea Scrolls in some caves near the Dead Sea that date back another 1,000 years. Okay, so you've got the back to before Jesus. So you're now, you understand how the time works. 2,000 years, we're in 2011 years since Jesus. If we go back the other way, it goes the reverse. Okay, if you go back 1,000 years before Jesus, that's when the Dead Sea Scrolls were written. Okay?
What are Dead Sea Scrolls?
That's just the name of them. They're documents.
Because they're by the Dead Sea. And
they were found in caves by the Dead Sea. Okay?
You mean the Lake Dead Sea?
So you go back, I think it's somewhere between 500 to 1,000 years before Jesus. Okay? Actually, this would be about, if it's 500 years above, it would be 500 years before Jesus. Yeah?
Can you use your recorder?
What's that?
Here.
Yeah, it's running. Okay, so there are actually documents that are like 2,500 years old that you can go look at today that show, and you know what's amazing? When they looked at the documents here, and how well, and then they looked at these documents, at how well they were preserved, and they said the same thing that they said here, it was very, very accurate. Okay? Isn't that amazing? That's been preserved that well. Okay? And so in here, the Bible was still, the Old Testament was still being written at this time. There were lots of documents that were still being added. So right up until the time the Old Testament was being written, we have documents that can take us, you can look at the actual documents that were written at that time.
So
isn't that amazing?
So all you have to do is go to the Dead Sea and then go to like a museum there. And
these are actually in Jerusalem, I believe, now. You can go to a museum there, I think. Rockefeller Center, I think, is what it's called. There's one in New York as well. And you can actually read those documents. You can read it. Isn't that amazing? So So it's been preserved extremely well. It's very reliable. And I don't know all the things that's involved in this, but everything that I've read says that what was originally written by the prophets and the disciples has been so well preserved, more than probably any other history book in the world.
Okay? So one's in Jerusalem and one's in where?
The Vatican, which is in Rome, I believe. They would have some of the New Testament
then
stuff.
Then you said one that's in America?
No, that was... No, I don't think there's any... I don't know if there's... I don't think there's any in America. That would be
well,
good
I'm
to
not
research.
Going to Jerusalem or Greece. That's just a waste of time.
In Rome. Rome is in Italy.
All right. Isn't that interesting? Okay, so it's been very well preserved. Okay. Now, and it's very accurate. Oops. It's accurate history as well. Okay. So these are points now. Now, we know that the Bible says it's accurate, but how else do we know it's accurate, okay?
You just said it.
These are ways that we know that it's accurate, that it's truth. It's the history. If you take any other history book in the world, the history in the Bible lines up with all the history that we learn at school or whatever, because it's a big part of the Bible is history. And you can read, you'll read stories in the Bible about different people, and you can go through different history books and learn more about those same people. You can go to Jerusalem today, right? It's a real place. So history shows us that the Bible was accurate, because all the stories, when it says so-and-so was a king and then so-and-so was a king, and we have an entire history of the world, and you can actually go into other history books and see, yep, so-and-so was a king, and then so-and-so, and then the next guy. And it's,
I've never read okay. about
those guys. You went in the Roman Empire, you never read about Mr. So-and-so? King so-and-so?
What? He's a real guy? His name is actually so-and-so?
No. That's just did.
That's so, so-and-so.
But like when Jesus was here, the Roman Empire was in charge of Israel at that time, right? The Roman soldiers nailed him to the cross. Well, that is actual true history. You can go back and read all about the Roman Empire and how they took over and when they took over Israel, and so it's all very accurate. Yeah?
I think it'd be cool to go to Rome.
It would be cool, wouldn't it? It'd be very cool.
Yeah, and then get beaten by Romans and put in jail.
Oh, that would
and then
be cool.
I'm gonna kick them.
Okay, it's also accurate.
Scary.
Prophecy. Okay? The Bible is full of prophecy. God in the Bible says, this is one of the ways you know that I'm real. It's because I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. And he does it over and over and over again in the Bible. Okay? The Bible is full of God saying, this is going to happen. If you guys do this, this is going to happen. If you do this, this is going to happen.
Like in Jeremiah.
Okay? And he would talk about entire countries coming in and invading and taking over. He was like the ultimate. He knew everybody's war plans. It was like he was able to say, okay. In fact, at one point he said, Daniel gave God gave Daniel a prophecy that of a statue. He gave him a picture of this big statue. Okay?
And he said,
the head is made of something, the body is made of something, the legs are made of something, and the feet are made of something. Okay, and he said, the interpretation was each of these are going to be a nation. Okay, it's going to be Babylon.
Babylon
is going to come first. So long before the Babylonians were an empire, he said, yeah, Babylon's going to come and build an empire, and they're going to take all you Israelites because you've been bad, and they're going to take you to away from your
country. They even took the king.
Okay, they took the king. And then he said, and then after them, then the Persians are going to take over them. So it's like he knew everything.
And then
he didn't know everything.
And the Romans.
Okay,
and
that's right. And then we've got the Greeks.
The
oh, we're missing one, or are we?
And then the Canadians, and then the
Greeks,
Russians.
And then the Romans. The Bible told us about all these empires, massive empires. It'd be like saying,
It had been like him saying the United States is going to become the greatest empire, and it's going to win World War II, long before there ever was World War II. Okay.
Actually, so far they've been the worst country.
Before there was even World War I. Okay. So God is constantly telling the future in prophecy. Okay. And then we see it actually. You can actually look at the Bible, see where what the prophets had to say. You can look at the history. And it perfectly lines up. It's amazing. Okay? It's accurate 100% of the time. Okay? It's not like, well, God's kind of 50-50. Well, he was wrong about the Greeks. They didn't actually do anything. It's like 100% accurate. Okay?
It was not the Greeks. It was the...
Okay.
It was the Americans.
So, it's amazing. It's amazing.
Right there. It was actually, Germans.
Okay, and today the Bible still is telling the future. Okay, it's telling us what God's going to do yet, and we haven't seen all of the Bible come true yet. But one day we'll look back on the entire Bible and say, "Remember when we that prophecy about the end, about heaven, and God's going to be like a new heaven and a new earth, and Jesus is going to come back one day? Remember those prophecies that we were waiting for? One day we're going to look back and see there's just more prophecy that came true."
I would rather go to heaven at the end of the time instead of die.
Oh, well, maybe you'll get lucky. Maybe you'll be here alive when Jesus comes back and you won't have to die. Maybe. Okay? So does that make sense? These are some of the ways that we can trust the Bible. Okay? There's no other book like it in the world. It's very special. It contains God revealing himself to us. So there's all kinds of religious books in the world, but none of them have this, okay? None of them are accurate prophetically. None of them even dare to tell the future, because if you're wrong, right, then your book is kind of useless. But the Bible dares to tell the future, and it's always right, okay? The history is perfectly accurate. It's been well preserved. And we know that God himself actually has been involved in writing it. So that's why it's so trustworthy.
Like some of the prophecy that Jesus is coming back quickly, only it was like he said, I'm going to come back quickly. And it's been like thousands and thousands.
It's been 2,000 years. Yeah. Well, he didn't say he's going to come back quickly. He said, be ready, because I could come back at any time. And so everybody thought, oh, maybe he's going to come soon. Right? The Bible speaks a lot about us being ready. The Lord is going to return. And to think that he might, I mean, you got to remember, and if we're looking at all of eternity, there's a couple thousand years very long in the length of eternity. So in God's mind, it's not a very long time, regardless of how many years it is. Okay?
How many years did you say it was?
What's that?
2,000.
We've been waiting 2,000 since Jesus, right? 2011, right?
2011.
That's how many years we've been waiting for Jesus to return, right?
Since
he was born, right? He born, died, and then he said, "I'll come back one day." Okay, I'm coming back, so be ready.
I hope that's not before I get married.
so you want to come somewhere between after you get buried and before you die. Is that would that be your choice?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how come you want to get married?
So just I can have children.
Oh, that would be cool, eh? All right. And your final one for today.
So,
if God has revealed himself and done it in such a special way by keeping it recorded for all of us to know what he's like, what do you think it's important that we do with what he's given us?
Prepare.
With what he's given us here. He's given us an accurate recording of him revealing himself. So what do we need to do with this? Anybody? Yeah?
Spread it.
Spread it? Before we spread it, what do we need to do?
Put it on them and sell it.
No. What do we need to do?
Grab a piece of toast.
What do we need to do with it?
Eat it.
Think even basic. What's the most basic thing we should do with God's gift to us?
Read it.
Read it.
Use it.
Okay, reading. The final title is reading. God's Word. Okay, God has revealed himself. He's spoken through the prophets. He came down himself, revealed himself to us through his Son. He's preserved it and kept it, and now what do we do with it? We read it. Okay?
It's now like, what do we do with it? Now what do we do with it? Sell it.
This is our spiritual food, okay?
This you mean really we can
important.
Eat it?
You got to eat it. Is absolutely right.
Okay.
Okay?
Actually, your heart needs to eat.
Oh.
The Bible tells us everything we ever want to know about God, about what he wants for us, what he expects of us. But if we don't read it, well, we're just taking other people's word for it. And it's not the same as when we read it ourselves. Okay? If I had a cheeseburger, and I told you, Josiah, what a cheeseburger was like. Okay? The cheeseburger's really good. Okay? Really good. It's got lots of cheese on it. It's got this big, juicy burger in there. And it's got bacon on it because I love bacon.
This tastes like banana.
Okay? Now, if I told you all about it, would you really know what that tastes like if I never let you eat a hamburger?
No.
Unless you ate all the ingredients.
Yeah, and it's not going to do you any good. Just tell me about it, right? Mm-hmm. Don't just tell me about the hamburger. Give me the hamburger. I want to eat it. Okay? The Bible, you guys, is your spiritual food. Okay? This is your meat. Your meat and potatoes. What's your favorite food?
Marshmallows.
One of them. What's one of your favorite things?
Sweet and sour meatballs.
Sweet and sour meatballs. It's your sweet and sour meatballs. What's one of your favorite things?
Bacon.
Bacon? Oh, it's your bacon. Greasy bacon on the fryer. What's your favorite?
Pizza, sausage,
pizza.
Bacon. Mm. Pancakes. Right. Boys are going for the bacon.
Sam, what's your favorite food? I don't know, but it's good, right? Okay. The Bible is our food. Here's one thing I would suggest that is a habit that we all should develop as Christians.
Eat our Bibles.
We should not eat
our Bibles.
Not eat food until we've eaten our spiritual food.
But I like food.
Too bad.
Exactly.
We've already failed it, so.
If you made a deal with yourself that you were not going to eat breakfast until you've eaten your spiritual food, what do you think would happen?
How can you eat spiritual food?
Well, that's what we're talking about. How do you eat spiritual food, Josiah?
You can't.
You read the Bible.
You read the Bible.
And do what it
says. It's your spiritual food. It's the Bible.
I know, but you can't eat it.
You do. By sitting down and reading it, that's how you eat it. You see, your body actually is hungry for it. Your spiritual body, no, it's not a body, the spiritual part of you is hungry for the Word of God, okay?
So why don't I just eat it?
That's exactly what you need to do. And the way that you feed your spiritual self is to read the Word.
Okay? Practice.
And so one of the things that is a great habit to develop is not to eat breakfast until you've read a chapter of the Bible or done some devotions. Because your natural hungry, when you feel that natural hunger, if you do this as a habit, then you'll naturally think, I'm hungry. The first thing I need to eat is my spiritual food, because that's way more important than, because one day this body isn't going to need food anymore. But I want to feed my spiritual self. So I'm going to read the Bible and then I'm going to eat. And then I'll be full spiritually and physically.
Normally.
Okay? Would that be kind of cool? Yeah?
Unless you're really, really hungry.
Then you should read fast.
Well, how can you read a chapter in, like, a minute?
Well, it's just an idea for you.
Okay? I look at the words really fast.
It's just an idea for you.
Look at all right. Chapter in 10 seconds.
All right, and here's how to read the Bible. Okay, there's a few different ways.
Wait. I read the whole Bible.
And you can do devotions.
And I'm full.
You looked at some words. And not me. I'm full.
which is kind of your basic readings, okay? So like reading, it could be some people read a chapter of the Bible a day, okay? Some people have these, there's called reading plans where you can read the entire Bible in a year. And so they go by the plan and they might read 3 chapters a day, okay? But it's about just reading some of the Bible every day. It's kind of your devotions idea. Okay, so that's an important, it's like your basic food. Just like you eat every day, you eat a little bit of the Word of God, and it builds you up stronger spiritually, okay?
So do you want us seriously to, like, chew this part? Like, do you want me to chew this cake
off?
If
you do,
like, and then, like,
jam
and swallow it and, like,
want to
digest it.
Okay? What? This is... There's giant themes that run from the beginning of the Bible right to the end, like love your neighbor, okay? Anywhere you read in the Bible, you're going to get taught about loving your neighbor, being loving and kind, and do this and don't do that. So there's these giant themes. So anywhere you read in the Bible, you can basically do devotions, okay? Now, there's another way to read the Bible is to do a book study, okay? A book study, which is... You take one book in the Bible, like, say, the book of Hebrews, like we just talked about. Okay, we just read from. And taking the book of Hebrews and reading all the background information on the book of Hebrews. Who is the book of Hebrews written to? Why was it written? Who is the author? And just finding out background. And then doing it, reading that book, and maybe you'll read it several times. Okay? But it's to kind of get a little bit stronger understanding of the Bible. So that's a little bit different than just doing your devotions. Here you're trying to kind of understand who the Bible was written to, why it was written to that people. It may help you understand it a little bit better. Okay, another way to study the Bible is topic study. Okay? Let's say you wanted to find out what the Bible has to say about angels. So you study everything the Bible has to say about angels. You go throughout the Bible to find the different places. And there's neat, what's that one? Bible, there's one called Bible Gateway. .com, I believe. That's a website that you can type in. Oh no, that's not it. Sorry. That's a different one. But there's, if you Google Bible topics, if you were just to Google that, you'd come to a website that's set up so that you can just type in a topic like angels, and it'll give you all the scriptures that have to do with angels. And then you can just do your own study on angels. What does the Bible have to say about angels? Okay? So then you can understand some of the topics really well, some of the themes.
What was it? Bible what?
It's you just type in Bible topic. Okay? And you'll come out, it'll give you some different websites that you can that work that way. That allow you to just type in a word and okay. And then finally you can do what's called theology study.
Biology studies.
Okay, if you go to Bible school, you'll have a class that's called theology class. Does anybody know what theology means? The study of something. What is it, Sam? You know? Study of God. Okay? Okay? Now this gets really deep. Okay? This is if you really want to study the deep things of God. I wasn't ready for this until just recently. I was happy just staying here for the longest time because there was so much to learn. But now I'm at a place where I like learning this stuff. And there's a little guy who comes to me every Sunday with a theological question, and he's only in grade 1. He's ready for it already. He's way beyond me. Okay? So it's really cool. So we're all at a different place, and some of us really love this stuff. Okay? And you might be that kind of a person. And this would be trying to understand the things like we talked about today, about Jesus being God and man. Okay, that's a hard thing to understand, right? It takes a lot of study. And so that's called theology study. And the last thing for you today is that the Bible is our weapon. The Bible says it's a weapon against who?
Satan?
Yeah. Against the devil.
Okay.
It's a weapon, that's right. Because what are the weapons that Satan uses?
Lies.
Exactly. Satan's weapons, he uses lies, right? So how do you combat lies?
The Bible.
With the truth. Right? Lies versus the truth.
Truth always wins.
Okay, but how do you know the only way you're going to know the truth, the only way you're going to beat the devil is if you've got the Word of God and you're full of it. Okay? It's the only way to beat him. So when he comes to you and says to you, Josiah, you're no good, dirty, dotten, rotten, dumb scumbum. You say, actually, that's not true. Jesus says, I'm this. I'm a son of God. I'm his child. He loves me. He cares about me. I'm special to him. So, you're wrong. Sorry. But if you don't have that truth built into you, you'll say what? Well, maybe he's right. Maybe I am a dirty, rotten scumbum. He's like, yeah, you are. You are a dirty, rotten scumbum. I don't want to be, but you are.
And you'll be like, I don't want to be.
Okay? So by having the truth of God in us, we combat the devil. He's always trying to lie to us, saying, you don't really even believe in God, do you? I mean, that's the kind of stuff. He'll try everything to lie to us, okay?
My sword's not coming out.
You got to flick it harder. All right. Well, I think that... Does anybody have any questions about that? All right. Your assigned reading for your for this week is John chapter 1. Okay, it's going to talk a little bit more about Jesus. It's going to say that Jesus was the Word of God.
Okay? The whole verse.
John chapter 1. Yeah, the whole chapter. That's your reading for this week. And your take-home challenge, okay, is number, there's two here possibilities. Number one is personal devotion, or just devotions.
We do devotions every day.
That's why I'm going to give you two. Because if you already do devotions, then I'll give you another challenge. But if you don't do daily devotions yourself yet, then I encourage you to start doing that. Start reading a chapter a day. Maybe you could start by reading John 1 and then read John 2.
I do that with my family.
And then John 3. Okay, if you do it with your family, that's great. But if you don't have a system yet, that would be the first take-home challenge, okay?
Okay.
And the second one, if you already do devotions, your second one would be to do an... Okay, I don't know if I'm going to spell this right. Archaeological discovery. Do research.
On what?
It's called... Now, archaeology is the study of... It's kind of like digging up the past to prove the past, like to understand the past. So guys, so it would be like there's all kind of discoveries that are being made that prove the Bible. Like they just found something in, you know, they found a city that, the remains of a city that never existed before, or that they have never known existed except for the Bible says it existed. So if you Google Bible archaeology... Okay. You'll come up with probably all kinds of different places you can go to do a little research project just to find something that's been recent, that recently proves that the Bible is accurate. That's another proof that, you know, that shows that the Bible is true. Okay?
Okay.
So there's a couple of options for you. All right. And I think that's a wrap.
Okay.